This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by McAfee.
Finish your fantasy lineup?
No, but I'm joining this paid group chat with insider info.
Dude, seriously? Forward it to me? Oh, security alert from McAfee. That group's as legit as that knockoff jersey you're wearing.
McAfee's scam detector is available in all McAfee plans for as little as $39.99 for your first year. Learn more at McAfee.com/online protection.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I think Quinn gives this team the best chance to win.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not happy about it. Something out of my control.
The latest edition of Salty Tua.
Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Champ Bailey. Actor Jason Clark. Actor Matthew Lillard. Your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Lots to talk about over the next 3 hours from the world of sports, pop culture, and more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're watching us on the Disney Plus app. Hello, and same to those watching us on the ESPN app. Listening on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, just make sure to turn the radio down when you're hanging on the phone lines, getting ready to chat with us. And the same thing if you're listening on Sirius XM Channel 80. 844-204-RICH, again, is the number to call. We've got not one, but two actors coming in studio. Matthew Lillard, who's been here before, he's coming in support of Five Nights at Freddy 2. It's a sequel, which means I have to ask him, is this nights 6 through 10? At Freddy's. And well did nobody learn over the first five nights? He's also the voice of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He did that first the last time he was here. Maybe he'll do it again. Who knows? But he's joining us in studio in hour number three. And the actor Jason Clark, who's in a ton of great things, including the remarkable series that's going down on Hulu right now, Murdoch, Death in the Family. He also played Jerry West in Winning Time. He's coming in here in hour number two. Right. Champ Bailey, Pro Football Hall of Famer, who's part of the Turner coverage of the college football playoffs this coming weekend. He's first up. And again, there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Christopher, good to see you over there. Christopher
Richard,
Ockman.
Great to see you. How are you, my friend?
DJ Mikey D.
Good morning, Rich.
D's Nuts is at his post, and TJ Jefferson Kendall's already lit. Good to see you over there, sir.
How's everybody doing?
What up, man?
We're doing great. We have to start with the way Week 16 is starting. This isn't just any ordinary Thursday night football game. This is lots at stake. Rams and Seahawks, this has been lurking. This has been percolating. This has been boiling underneath the NFC West lid and the entire NFC lid since these two teams faced each other earlier this season when the Seahawks darn near kicked their way to victory in SoFi Stadium when the Rams and the Seahawks faced each other in week number 11. Ball on Jason Myers' foot from about 60 yards away with no time left despite all of the turnovers that the Rams got off of Sam Darnold again. The Seahawks almost survived. And then the Rams tripped up in Carolina, and the Seahawks now are neck and neck with the Rams, welcoming them into their homes tonight on Thursday Night Football with the NFC West at stake, and the NFC at stake. The Rams are 1 in the NFC. The Seahawks are 5 in the NFC, and lurking right behind them are the San Francisco 49ers ready to take control of this division and also maybe the conference, ruining the story and perhaps the dinner and perhaps maybe the evening, to use the phrase from stepbrothers back in the day. This is what it's all about. On top of all that, would you believe this is the first ever Thursday night game, which is remarkable because Thursday night football has been going on ever since NFL Network essentially invented it. And I went on the road and heard all these folks saying these games stink for about 15 years. And then handing it off to Prime Video eventually after so many other networks were doing it on our behalf at NFL Network. Would you believe this is the first Thursday games, first Thursday game ever in which both teams enter with 11 or more wins?
Wow.
Really?
Correct.
That's crazy.
I haven't seen a game like this before. Also, the last time the Seahawks played a game in December or later in which they were taking on an opponent who was just like them in the top two records in the NFC. Last time the Seahawks played in such a game was Week 16, 2014, when they beat Arizona. Remember the Arians coached Arizona Cardinals with Carson Palmer? They beat Arizona and then went on to lose in the Super Bowl to Brockman's Patriots.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Last time the Rams played in a regular season game between the NFC's top two records in December or later was 2001, when they beat the San Francisco 49ers in Week 13, and then St. Louis went on to lose the Super Bowl to Tom Brady and Chris Brockman's Patriots.
Man, we won a lot, huh, TJ?
Well, the good news is whoever wins this game and makes the Super Bowl will not see Tom Brady in it.
Oh, I mean, not yet.
Not even calling it.
I don't know.
Okay, great.
You never know,
maybe,
Rich.
You never know.
You know what I mean? Never say never.
The Rams already clinched a playoff spot. The Rams have already clinched that spot. They can't clinch the West tonight, but with a Rams win, the Seahawks would need to win two more games. They only have two left. They'd have to sweep those games and have the Rams lose their final two games against Atlanta and Arizona. Seahawks need a win if they want to surpass the Rams. And then, of course, if the Rams lose and the Seahawks take first place, that would be great for the 49ers because the 49ers have already beaten the Seahawks in Week 1, and they face the Seahawks again in Week 18. So the NFC West is up for grabs for the 49ers regardless who wins this game tonight. It's better for them if it's the Seahawks. And it's then again just this at stake and how rare it is to see a matchup like this. Tonight, if the Rams win it, Sean McVay would get career win number 100. He's 39 years old. He does not turn 40 until January. The only other individuals who have won 100 games before they turn 40 are named Curly Lambeau and George Halas.
Ooh, heard of them.
So McVay, fresh off of having his second baby, and then perhaps some seeing Puka Nacua's latest video having a cow, he's got
good 90s reference.
A big milestone up for grabs tonight. Is the MVP of the league playing in this game? Well, I have about three pages of stats here in front of me that says Matthew Stafford is in fact playing in this game tonight, and he is going to be the MVP. He's got a career best win percentage and passer rating. He's also leading the NFL in passing touchdowns and passer rating and touchdown to interception ratio. He's second in pass yards, 209 behind your guy Dak, TJ, who is about to throw for 4,000 yards as a Cowboy.
Yeah, boy.
Brady and Peyton Manning are the only players to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns after turning 37 years old, and it sure looks like Stafford's going to join them because he enters Week 16 leading the NFL in passing touchdowns by 8. Over a guy he just beat last week in Jared Goff. Since the merger Super Bowl era, seven previous players have led the NFL by 8 or more passing touchdowns. The last one was Aaron Rodgers in 2020. And the only one who did not win MVP that season of the seven previous players was Dan Marino in 1986 when he led the NFL by 19 passing touchdowns.
What?
What? But Lawrence Taylor won most valuable player that year.
Yeah. Well,
Stafford's on pace to become the 17th player in the Super Bowl era to outright lead the NFL in passing touchdowns and passer rating in a single season. 10 of those players won the MVP award that season. I could go on and on. He's on fire and has not lost to the Seahawks since becoming the Rams' starting quarterback. He's beaten Sam Darnold three straight times. As we all know, Darnold is having a really nice season in his first year with Seattle. He's 11-3, leads the NFL in passing yards per attempt, 8.8. Certainly helps to have Jackson Smith and Jigba going off. We'll get to that in a second. The list of players to have 10 or more wins and 100 or more passer rating in the first season after changing teams. He has joined Vinny Testaverde in 98 for the Jets, Brett Favre for the Vikings in 2009, Peyton Manning in 2012 for the Broncos, Tom Brady for the Bucks in 2020. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? Matthew Stafford for the Rams in 2021. And he also joins himself last year with the Vikings. Allow himself to join himself. He's now done it twice.
Allow myself to introduce
myself. The only player over the last 15 seasons to throw four interceptions against an opponent, as he did back in Week 11, and then defeat them later in the season. You want that list?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to join Brady in 2011 against Buffalo, Andy Dalton against Baltimore in 2017, Ryan Tannehill against Houston in 2021, and the 2022 version of Joe Burrow against the Steelers. That's what he's trying to do there. Oh, by the way, this game between the Rams and the Seahawks, by the way, you're welcome, Prime Video, to set this thing up for you on a Thursday night, because it is must-see. The Rams and the Seahawks are the only two teams to have a top-five scoring offense and defense in 2025. The Rams are second in scoring, 30 points per game, third in points allowed, 18.6. The Seahawks are fifth in points per game, 28.9, and second in points allowed, 17.3. This is the 10th December or later matchup between two teams entering the game ranked in the top five in both scoring offense and defense since the 1970 merger, and one of the two teams in each of the last seven matchups reached the Super Bowl. Woo. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The best sack differential this season. The Broncos, and believe it or not, the Falcons are 1-2 in that regard at plus 41 and plus 27. Then you find the Seahawks at plus 24 and the Rams at plus 18. They sack people. They don't give up sacks. Matthew Stafford has the second lowest quarterback pressure rate faced this season. Just 26% of his passes he's been facing pressure. Only Aaron Rodgers has faced fewer, less pressure. Maybe he's getting rid of the ball just like Stafford. Darnold is fourth on that list. Then you've got running backs. Kyren Williams and Blake Corum have each had 70 or more rushing yards and a rushing touchdown in three straight games. They're the first teammate duo to do that since at least 1950. Woo. The only other teammate duo since 50 to even have 50 or more rushing yards and one or more rushing touchdowns in a three-game span. Jim Brown and Bobby Mitchell for the Browns. They both made the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Zach Charbonnet leads the Seahawks with 8 rushing touchdowns this year. He's just one of 8 running backs with 8 or more rushing touchdowns in each of the last two seasons. Kyren is one of them. In terms of Seattle players to do such a thing this century, Kenneth Walker III, his teammate, did it in the two previous years to Charbonnet doing it last year and this year. Marshawn Lynch and Sean Alexander are the only other ones. And then we all know about the receivers in this game. Are you picking up what I'm putting down about tonight's game?
Seems like it's a pretty big game tonight.
More or less.
Jackson Smith and Jigba and Puka Nacua are first and second in the NFL in receiving yards. They're also the only ones to be averaging 100 yards receiving per game in the NFL. This is the first December or later matchup between the top two NFL players in receiving yards since Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson went at it in 2021, back in Week 16, fifth season In NFL history, that's featured a matchup between the only two players in the NFL to average 100 or more receiving yards per game that season. Last time that happened was Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill in 2022. Before that, Anquan Boldin and Terrell Owens. That's what we're seeing. Smith and Jigba is responsible for 44.7% of the Seahawks' receiving yards this year. And Puka has had 167 yards receiving in week 14 against Arizona and then followed it up with 181 receiving yards last week against Detroit. The last receiver to have as many such yards in a two-game span for the Rams was Torrey Holt in 03.
Big game.
I think I've laid it all out for you.
Take that for data.
Thank you, Coach Fizdale. Oh, and there's one other thing to keep an eye on. Puka Nacua, if another defender lays a hand on him, will the officials use that hand to throw a flag? Or perhaps, as Puka said on a live stream, use those hands to type out a text to people, hey, I'm on TV. Listen, nobody is more joyous to watch in the NFL play football than Puka Nacua. I will put him up there in terms of smiles delivered. Remarkable play delivered. Goofiness for days. I couldn't have been more stunned about what I heard and saw from Puka on this live stream. Apparently, this live stream, he wanted to set it up reportedly in the Rams facility, and McVay's like, are you serious? We got to, we're playing the Seahawks. I just set up what a massive game this is. But this doesn't help. Puka saying this about the refs to these live streamers who are, I guess, very eager to elicit such things because we're talking about it nationally, and so is everyone else, because you never really hear a player say these sort of thing publicly about officials. And then on top of it, someone of Puka's remarkable stature.
Do you think the refs be bull sometimes?
Oh, 100%. I'm like, they had a, yes, the refs are the worst. Because there's just some of the rules aren't, and like, these guys are lawyers, and like, they want to be on TV too, bro. Like, the game, you don't think he's texting his friends in the group chat, like, yo, you guys just saw me Sunday Night Football? Like, that was
no way.
Like, that wasn't PI, like, but I called it. I was
seriously,
like,
did they do that?
I mean, these guys are normal human beings too.
So we will see what happens tonight when the officials are calling this, and I'm going to say they will be professional about it, but they are humans as well. I wonder if one of them will go up to Puka before the game and say, what's up? I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, let's see.
These officials just want to be anonymous. And you know, he's right. The officials are human. And so is he. He's 24 years old. I've had nothing but the most awesome interactions with him. I root for him. My God, do I root for him. So I will also offer these 2 cents, if I may. Puka, do not do that touchdown celebration that these guys were telling you about, spinning a dreidel and making this hand motion. This hand motion I'm making on the screen right now is an anti-Semitic trope. It is awful. To me, it's beyond offensive. It's not funny. It's not fun. It's Hanukkah. And again, I don't want to lay this on you because you may not know. There's never a good time to do it. Right now, it's a particularly dangerous time to do it. Please don't do it. As for the football, go ball out, kid. You're awesome to watch. Awesome to watch. And also, in the community, face forward, keep doing what you're doing, man. But this ain't it. And I can't wait to watch him tonight on Thursday night. The Rams need him. I didn't even mention Devontae Adams is not playing in this game, most likely. I don't think you're going to see him till the playoffs.
Yeah, seems okay. Like it.
But the last thing I wanted to do is take a minute out for the real life stuff. But I have to. And I always will from this chair when this is the subject matter for sure. So let's just chalk it up to 24-year-old perhaps not knowing. I hope that's what it is, obviously. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Champ Bailey is going to join us next to talk college football. He's part of the Turner family of networks, showing you a couple of college football playoff games. That's coming up next.
Brooks Running reminds us that we're all powered by something. Whether it's the me time energy of a run after a day at the office, the electrifying energy of your first marathon, or the infectious energy of a group run with your friends. No matter what energy powers you, Brooks has gear specifically designed to unleash it. So lace up and let it out. Let's run there. Visit brooksrunning.com today to learn more.
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Get 2x membership rewards points per dollar on eligible purchases in key business categories, as well as on each eligible purchase of $5,000 or more, on up to $2 million in eligible purchases per calendar year. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Champ Bailey here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, is back. And there's two college football playoff games that you can watch across TNT, True TV, and HBO Max. They are Ole Miss hosting Tulane and then James Madison at Oregon. And Champ Bailey, part of all the coverage on the family of networks at Turner, back here on The Rich Eisen Show. So let's jump into it here, Champ. How are you and the rest of the crew going? Because obviously this is big. College football games are big. Not to get too deep into the business of it, but Turner and ESPN striking a deal for these two games, it's big business for everybody. But how are you going to handle the subject matter of James Madison and Tulane playing in games that a lot of people who are tuning in don't think they have any business being in, Champ?
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I think we sit in a perfect spot as we're only doing post game. So understand, we'll be reacting to what's happened, not predicting and making assumptions, right? So for us, I think we have a unique spot to speak on what's happened in the game immediately after the games. And, you know, I was a little iffy about it at first. I'm like, why are we just doing postgame? Well, I like it because it gives us sort of a pregame, some pregame insight before anybody else can speak on what's coming up next.
Yes, sir.
Right? You know, the next round of playoffs. So here's James Madison and Tulane with a chance to silence all the critics, because I got to admit, I'm one of those people that say we need the 12 best. I said this long before they even qualified for a playoff spot, and I still believe that. Now they can go prove themselves as worthy of that spot, and they are based off the criteria that exists. But I think ultimately we want to sort of have what the NFL has. The NFL always has the best of the best. Right. It's there's never a question of, you know, should this team make the playoffs or not? That's never in question. It's your record is your record. Everybody's schedule is hard. And until we really figure that part out, we're going to be in this place where we're trying to figure out who the best 12 are. And I don't like the criteria now, but it's acceptable as we progress towards what's really fair and balanced across the league.
Yeah, because again, I'm assuming you're doing post game after both of these games, right, Champ?
After the JMU game,
right?
The final game, the JMU Oregon game, we'll do post game.
Okay,
live on set.
Okay,
in Eugene.
So the issue again is you'll be able to have your first. You'll then be the crew to have the first crack at, did these teams deserve to be in or not? Right.
Yeah.
And if I'm the coach of either of these teams, I am 100% playing the nobody believes in this card. I'd play it.
Yeah.
I play it as if it's every card in the 52 card deck that's in my hand right now. You know,
I would too. I don't blame them. If you look at the conferences they come from, there's no doubt that they're an inferior group of colleges,
right?
But that doesn't mean that they can't win a game. You know, it's possible, but it's unlikely. And just based off the strength of schedule and historically what's happened
with these type of matchups. I mean, look at Tulane, for example. They lose 45-10 earlier to Ole Miss in the season. Now, it's a little tricky now because Lane Kiffin's gone. John Summerall, he's going to hang back before he goes to Florida and coach. And then a lot of things going on, a lot of distractions. So this is a perfect climate for Tulane to sort of have an upset victory in a game like this. So I'm looking forward to that one more than anything.
So who's the best team in this tournament, do you believe? Is it your alma mater? Could it be Indiana? Ooh. Because we saw what happened in the Big Ten championship game, and clearly, you know, the Ohio State is outstanding, and last year lost their last Big Ten game, and it didn't matter. They won it all.
Yeah.
What do you think? Or is it somebody I didn't mention?
I do believe the Bulldogs are playing better than anybody right now. And, you know, everything's clicking at the right time. You saw them progress, like, throughout the year and get better and better week in, week out, especially on defense, which I believe is the thing that helps win championships more than anything. It's turnovers and defense. If you're not getting stops, you don't have a chance. Now, Indiana has proven, you know, they knocked off the defending champs. But I'm a believer in some, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice. So if they ever met up with Ohio State again, I don't think they could beat them again. You know, Ohio State missed field goal here. You know, little things happen throughout that game. So I do feel like that was a very evenly matched team. But the top three teams, I believe, are Ohio State, Indiana, and Georgia. You know, I do give Georgia the edge, and, you know, a little bias there. But at the same time, man, they've proven that they belong in this top four as they did the previous season. So, you know, for what it's worth, man, we got to play the game. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. But, again, it's a toss-up at this point on who can pull this out, because you can't sleep on Texas Tech. And the sleeper to me out of all this is Oregon. Oregon lost to the number one team in the country. So you can't fall asleep on them. They had no other losses, some decent wins, but ultimately they have the talent to win it all. I'd say about six teams can win it.
And you're not just saying that because you're going to go to Eugene as part of your television.
No, not at all.
And you want to be welcomed into places and where you're going to go eat. But and you just mentioned six teams. So then let's on the screen here. All the teams that are playing this coming weekend, which one outside of Oregon and the other four first round buys do you think has the best chance to go on a run here and be a Cinderella, if you will?
Wow. I'm going to say Texas A&M.
Okay.
And, you know, Marcel Reed is the real deal. So anybody who has a quarterback that's impressive like that, and they've been tested, you saw them come back and beat South Carolina. You can't overlook that. Like, you know, I know South Carolina's had a sort of down season, but they're still a tough SEC opponent. And for them to come back and win the way they did, it kind of shows some resiliency there. So I can't look past them with a dynamic quarterback they have. I give them a chance to be that sixth team, you know, to potentially win it.
Champ Bailey here on the Rich Eisen Show. College football playoff postgame show on TNT after the game in Eugene, Oregon, and after the first weekend of games of the college football playoffs are over. Everyone should catch it on TNT Sports and throughout the family of networks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That picture behind you, what is that? What do we got behind you right there?
Oh, man, that was my last pro win, the AFC Championship. We went on to lose the Super Bowl, but we won't talk about that.
Understood.
But that's a picture of all my guys, us holding up the trophy, you know, my last win in Mile High.
Well, I got to be honest with you, that scene may play out again in a couple of weeks. And speaking of Oregon, Bo Nix coming off the campus there in Eugene, 22 wins right now in his first two seasons that aren't even complete. What do you make of the current Denver Broncos champion?
Man, unbelievable run up to this point. And, you know, obviously the defense gets a lot of the hype. Bo Nix does too. But it is a lot of great role players, you know. When you look at their defense, I think the two stars, Nick Benito and Pat Surtain, PS2, are you know, they're the guys we talk about. But there's so many role players on that defense that are just
that's
balling.
On the screen right there, Champ. That interception last week is
game changer.
That's why I don't he doesn't get much action. You know what I mean? Like, that's why nobody throws his way. That's why
I was really surprised that he threw it the way he did. And I'm like, man, he's in perfect position. And a guy with his length, he can pick off any ball that you throw. If he can get to it, it's going to be a problem for the quarterback. So I was a little thrown off by that throw. But, you know, if you're going to get it out there, Watson's a speed guy. Let him go run under it. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not what he did. And it changed the game. And that put them on the path to win the game.
Yeah. And you know, I'm a believer, you know, that Denver could really do this. This is
yeah,
real,
could.
Right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I do believe they have a shot. You know, they haven't been perfect all year. Like, they started some games slow. But again, I always go back to what people do in situations. You know, when they got to have it, do they rise to the occasion? And they've done that all year, so that can't be overlooked.
Let's talk about some of the Hall of Fame friends of yours that you played with, starting with Peyton Manning. What's your favorite Peyton Manning story?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, you know, I won't put him on blast or anything like that, but, you know, he's obviously a funny guy. I mean, I watch their Manning cast probably every week. Every time they're on, every time Monday night comes around, I'm probably going to watch their version instead of the original version of Monday night, only because I learned so much. And it's really, and it was no different when we played together. He walks into the locker room and, you know, he's just a year ahead of me. So it's not like, you know, this is a point where we're both double digit years in our career. He lands on our team. And now I'm not the old guy anymore, or the only old guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I have another proven leader to kind of, you know, lean on, and he was nothing short of great, you know. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have that time my final years. And, you know, he was amazing to me. He was amazing to our team. And he obviously went on to win a Super Bowl a couple years after my retirement. So, man, the dude is a winner. And he wins and does great at everything he does. So it's kind of hard to throw him under the bus.
Oh, I'm not asking you to throw him under the bus.
No, he'll give you anything crazy, but, you know, he's one of a kind. And, you know, he is as advertised.
But, I mean, you know, the sheriff showing up, you know, where Elway left a void.
Oh, yeah.
It couldn't have been more monumental, obviously. You know, you were there for Tebow time, and that ran its course.
I was.
You know, that ran its course. And then Elway's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get Peyton Manning, and we're going to have him finish his career here. That had to give, a jolt to the locker room. And I just love the fact that you say that he taught you football, you know, or taught you something about football.
He's still teaching me football.
I love it. Right. I love that. Yeah.
He's still teaching. And it's not, and it's funny, I don't know if he's even trying to teach. I just think he loves to talk about the game and gives insight that's invaluable. Like, you can't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
So the platform that he's had, I always tell kids, man, if you really want to learn about the game, like, go watch the Manning cast, and you just pick up nuggets here and there. If you're paying attention, there's no doubt you're going to learn. So I'm always encouraging young people who are interested in taking it to the next level, man. Go learn about the nuances of the game. That gives you an edge. You have no idea when all this information pops up in moments that help you succeed in certain plays. It's a real thing. So soak up as much as you can.
Speaking of kids learning the game of football, pop up the photograph here. What about the kid in the middle there in 2000, in between Darryl Green and Deion Sanders in Washington? What about that kid, Champ?
Look, man, I'm on cloud nine right there. You gotta think. I grew up as my first game was watching the Redskins in the Super Bowl when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I think they were playing the Raiders. And that's my first memory of really paying attention. And just so happened, Darryl Green was on that team. So fast forward to 1999, I get drafted, and he's still on the team, you know. So I think that was his rookie year, I believe. But Deion's Deion, right? I mean, you've worked with Deion.
Yes.
And you know the type of person he is. So imagine how he is to a guy like me, you know, that's trying to walk his path and do the things that he's done. And then the nuggets he still gives me to this day, I look, man, I tell people all the time, the best thing can happen to a young player is you fall into a locker room where you have veterans that care about you and pour into you. And I had two. My first 2 years, I had two of those guys that I looked up to already, could have shut it down at that moment and been first ballot Hall of Famers. I mean, I couldn't have landed in a better situation at that time.
And now you're part of the same gallery forevermore in Canton, Ohio, champ.
And I give them a lot of credit. They sort of laid the foundation for me, at least gave me the blueprint. And I don't think people understand. Like, I didn't really learn how to play corner until I got to Washington. Like, and it's not like I didn't know football. What I didn't know was the techniques that it took to succeed every play. And Darryl Green, totally different body type than me. He watched me just practice for a few weeks, and then we just started talking. And he just started giving me things. He was like, man, you should do this. You know, this is what I do. And then I'm watching, I'm like, well, if I implement a lot of the footwork into my game, I have all this length. It's only going to better complement what I do than it does him. He's a speed guy, right? Mm-hmm. Smaller. He doesn't want to get in hand fights. I'm the total opposite. I want to hand fight. I want to, you know, do all this stuff at the line of scrimmage. And now I incorporate great feet, and it took my game to the next level. And that was always my emphasis throughout my career. It was, my hands are great, but my feet are better. And he would always say that. And, man, I teach that to the day I die.
I love that. And, you know, Darryl sometimes will still challenge me to a 40-yard dash, and I want no piece of him.
No, you know, I don't either.
You know,
he's 20 years ahead of me. You know, I don't want any parts of him.
And the one time I ran my 40-yard dash with Dion was when he was the character Leon Sandcastle from the NFL Network commercials, wearing the fake afro, and he ran the first 20 yards with me running backwards.
Oh,
stride
my God.
For stride. And I remember thinking to myself, because I'm running so hard, because of the two people I want to look at my 40-yard dash and be proud of it the most are my wife, and the other one is Dion. Because I just didn't want to let him down. And all I could think as I'm running that, I'm like, Dion's running backwards with me stride for stride. What is up? And with a fake lid. Like, what is going on? You know,
well, for what it's worth, Rich, he is a world-class sprinter.
Thank you, sir. That's true.
You know, he's a pro. He's a pro at it. And you know he's not going to lace him up unless he can get the win. So he went in knowing what the results would be before it even happened.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Hey, champ, it's always great to see you. Always great to catch up with you. Great to see you doing your thing on TV. And I appreciate you coming on the show here and chopping it up. Have a great weekend in Oregon.
Hey, man, keep being you, man. You're the best.
Thank you. Right back at you. That's Champ Bailey, everybody. Catch the College Football Playoff post-game show with Adam Lefko hosting and Takeo Spikes and Victor Cruz with this man, Champ Bailey, on TNT Sports this weekend. And he will have the first word of the next round of the College Football Playoffs right here on the Rich Eisen Show. First word on it. He'll be able to sit there and with the rest of the guys there and basically say, we were wrong. Everyone else is wrong about Tulane and James Madison or one or the other, right?
Never know.
I know you don't feel that way.
I don't.
I don't think much of America does either.
Yeah.
But they have the opportunity. That's what I said.
They do.
When the college football playoffs first came up and Notre Dame's like basically, you know, we're not playing in the Pop-Tart Bowl. We're out. And I said, James Madison and Tulane, I looked right in the camera, and I'll do it again. You have the moment to shut us all up. Mm-hmm. You have this moment. And again, Champ's going to be there in Eugene, Oregon. What a monumental moment. It would be like UMBC beating Virginia in college basketball's first round. If James Madison, with their coach, who I believe is going to UCLA once it's over.
He is.
And again, Kurt Cignetti came from there, and Indiana's the top seed in this tournament. It would be up there with, what would you say, Buster Douglas beating Tyson? You know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff.
It's major.
Major. It would be up there with the stuff that
Appalachian State beat.
You know what? No. We're out of time.
Wow.
We're out of time.
Wow, TJ's so close.
It just popped. I was thinking major.
By the way, it's Appalachian State.
Whatever.
If you're going to troll me, say it right. Okay? Because we don't need
tomato,
people from
potato,
North Carolina
potato
complaining.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's go to break. You ruined it.
How so?
By mentioning that four-letter word. It's four syllables, too, I believe.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Let's go to Josh in Jacksonville, Florida. Let's take his call. Line two, Mikey D. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, Rich, Chris, TJ, how's everybody doing today, guys?
What up, man?
What's up, bro?
Say hi to Mike, otherwise I'll hang up on you.
Oh, hello, Mike. I'm so sorry, Mike. I completely forgot about you. That's
lucky,
my
Josh.
Fault. You know, I've been told before as a Birds fan, we're not all the way there, so maybe that's the problem.
Ah, you're an Eagles like fan that. In Jacksonville, where the Eagles played in a Super Bowl.
I was a little kid, and back in 2004 when the Super Bowl happened down here in Jacksonville, been a fan ever since.
Okay, cool.
So I got a couple things I want to talk to you about. One of them is my Birds, but the other thing I wanted to ask, Rich, is what's more likely? Okay, the winner of tonight's game will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, or anybody else from the NFC will?
Oh, tonight's combatants or the field. What's your other point?
Tomorrow.
Because we're going to chop that up when we say goodbye to you, Josh. What's your other point?
The other point I wanted to say is just a little personal thing, Rich. I don't know who came up with the end of your YouTube videos where you're like, hey, you made it to the end. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that's awesome, and it's a great hook that keeps me coming back for more videos, and I love it, man.
Excellent.
So just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, great. It's better than just, you know what, the original idea, we had two choices, would be either me saying that at the end of the video or just flipping the bird. Which, by the way, we didn't decide to do. Although I think you being a Phillies fan, a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you might appreciate such a thing, right?
I was going to say that might be the right way to go, Rich.
That's your language.
More engagement.
Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's Josh in Jacksonville. Okay, very good.
I'd say you go.
Can you imagine if I just, at the end, just like, thanks for making it. And
just like, hey.
And hit him with your mama.
I don't know why I would say such a thing.
Your mama.
I don't know.
What do you guys think?
Might be pretty funny.
By the way, great stuff from our friend in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know. I want to write that down.
Tonight's winner
or
the field in the NFC. TJ, I'll go to you first.
Yes, sir.
Tonight's winner or the field to make the Super Bowl in the NFC.
So I'm going to assume Dallas is out. So that being said,
look at you. Always your default is entertaining rather than actual real grist of the mill.
Because people don't want my real grist. They want to laugh. Admit that. I'm going to give you the... I'm going to go with the winner. I'm going to go with the winner tonight.
That was like putting your finger on the chess piece and then just and then removing it.
Well, because if you guys remember, we did a higher register. And the last time they played, I said the loser of the game was going to go on to be in the conference championship.
Okay.
So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say
the winner goes to the Super Bowl. Christopher?
Goes to the Super Bowl.
What I'm going to say is not fair.
Oh, gosh. What a way to set it up.
It really is great.
But I still need to see Sam Darnold win a big game.
I hear you.
And so I will say
that's a big game, buddy.
No Devontae Adams. There's always a but.
Oh, stop.
I think, I think if the Rams win tonight, yes. If the Seahawks win tonight, I'll still take the field.
And here's why I would agree with that. First of all, I think the Rams are the best team in football.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see tonight Puka with some eyes on him ball out. How does that sound?
No reason to dispute that.
Correct. Because he's on fire now. And the Seahawks winning keeps the Niners more in the mix. Because the Niners have already beaten them in week one and play them in week 18. And all they got to do is just stay one game behind Seattle as they currently are and then win out. And they win the division. Whereas the Rams, if the Rams win tonight, the Rams would be one in front of the Niners as well if the Niners keep winning. But they split their season series.
And no one's really talking about the Niners as kind of a sleeping giant.
It's a better result for the Niners to win this division if Seattle wins tonight. So I'll say that. We're splitting the baby there. You can't, but buddy, you have to choose one, Field or not. Winner tonight. Field or not. So you say Field. Because if it's a 50-50 proposition that one of the teams is not going.
Yeah, even if Seattle wins tonight, I'll take the Field.
Ooh. Okay. And I'll take the winner of tonight's game. All right. Good stuff to end hour one.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.